Okay, now we're working. All right. Here we go. We're going to talk about Easter this morning. We're so glad you are here. So this is what I've been telling you before. And if you want to know just where you can go with people if they ever ask you what's Easter about. Listen, if someone predicts their own death and resurrection and pulls it off, go with whatever they say. See, that's how you can tell people, hey, this is how I take the Bible for certain. This is how I know. Listen, somebody claims that and does that, I'm just going to go with whatever they say, because whoever else has ever done that, that's what makes Easter unique. Easter is not the celebration of Christianity beginning. It's not just the celebration of Jesus. It's the celebration of a particular event, an event that changes everything, that Jesus died and that he rose again, that the grave is empty, and that changes everything. So it's really important we understand that. And again, someone predicts that, go with whatever they say. As I tell you over and over again, Jesus died for our sins and he rose again for our salvation. One thing I want to remind us of today, if Jesus just died, well, that's like everybody else. That's what everybody else does. But because the grave is empty, because he rose again, that's what changes everything. And we're going to see this invitation that we've kind of been singing about in our songs this morning about coming alive. So Ezekiel 37. Now, if you've ever hit this passage, okay, if you've ever read it before, if you've ever come across it, you might think it's kind of odd and kind of weird what happens in this passage and what Ezekiel is being led by the Spirit to see. He's being led to see something particular because God wants to teach him something. And I think if we see what's happening there, we're going to be able to move forward, take Paul's words in the New Testament, and see this application for Easter Sunday and how incredible it is. So Ezekiel 37, it's called the Valley of the Dry Bones. Okay, the hand of the Lord, Ezekiel says, was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he placed me in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Now, I don't know, I just stop right there and go, that's a little weird, isn't it? Okay, God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but that's just a little bit weird. Then he takes him out, he says, Ezekiel, I need you to see something. So he places him in a valley, and it's just full of bones. And Ezekiel gives us a little bit more detail. And he made me walk all around among them. And I realized that there were a great many bones in the valley, and they were very dry. Now, here's something, if you've ever watched CSI, NCIS, you know, any of those criminal type shows, here's what nobody does, okay? They discover bones and go, hey, go get the paramedics, okay? I think if we get, you know, the right systems, we can get these bones back to life. Nobody ever says that. They see bones and it's over. Now we got to investigate and do everything else. So there was one thing that God wanted to make sure Ezekiel understood. Dead, okay? No hope, no chance, dead. And there's a reason he wants him to see that, and he wants him to experience that. And then he asked him a question. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, my first reaction is no, never can't happen. But I want you to see what Ezekiel says in the midst of it. He says, I said to him, sovereign Lord, you know. In other words, I have no idea, but you know. So I'm just going to leave that with you, what you think can happen in this valley with all these bones. Okay, I have no idea, but you're God and you're sovereign and you know everything. And I'm just going to leave it with you. So then he said to me, prophesy, speak, preach over these bones and tell them, okay? Now, you talk about weird sermons. Here's a weird one, okay? You're going to be in a graveyard with a bunch of bones, and this is what you're going to tell them. Dry bones listen to the Lord's message. Now, we're never told what that message is, okay? But Ezekiel is there in a bunch of bones preaching, okay? And so I prophesied, Ezekiel says, commanded. And there was a sound when I prophesied. We sang about this morning. I heard a rattling. He saw something happening to those dry bones. And you can go on and you can read the story that they come back to life, they form an army, and God is trying to get Ezekiel to understand something. So what I want to first do this morning is I want you to understand what the primary meaning, why God did what he did for Ezekiel. Ezekiel is speaking to Israel. Israel has been taken into captivity, and so they need to hear a specific message. So it's important we understand why it was written, but then we can fast forward and see the incredible message that you and I can take from this morning on this Easter. So then he said to me, son of man, these bones are all the house of Israel. Look, they are saying, our bones are dry, our hope has perished, we are cut off. Because that's what happened to Israel. They had been taken away into captivity, and they just looked and said, it's over. It's over, it's done. Now, until that point when that happened, they thought, oh, it's never going to happen to us. They kept ignoring every single warning they had. Hey, turn around, stop worshiping idols, worship God. Turn around. They were constantly told that. And they just, oh, that's not going to happen to us. Babylon's never going to take us over. And yet, they did. And so, when that happens, they just looked and said, oh, it's over. It's over. We're done. There is no hope for us. But God did have hope for them, and he talks about in the rest of that chapter, he wants to restore them and do something great in and through them. And ultimately, it's a prophecy about Jesus coming and dying for our sins and rising again for our salvation. And he just had to remind them in the midst of a situation where they didn't have a lot of hope that God said, I am still in charge, and I am still at work, and I am still moving. Now, what does this have to do with us? You ever think that sometimes when you're reading passages of scripture? Because this is one. You can read that and like, wow, that's a cool story, right? Could you see that one illustrated? That would be really interesting. What does that got to do with me? What's that going to do with us? And what does it have to do with Easter and what we come together and celebrate on this Sunday? So this is where I want to fast forward. To where Paul is speaking to a church. It's the church in Ephesus, what is modern day Turkey. And he is writing to this church, and he's telling them something very interesting about their condition and their state and where they are in their life. And he says this, once you were, oh, here's the word again, dead. You were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. He didn't say you were just bad. He didn't say you were having a bad day. You're just in this streak where you're just not listening to God. You're dead. You are dead because of your disobedience and all the sins, all the times in your life you have missed the mark on following Jesus and doing what his word says. All those times that is just sin. And it piles up in our life. And he says, we're not just bad without Jesus. We are dead without Jesus. So he says, you were dead, but God, who is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he did what? When he raised Christ from the dead. He reminds us, he says, by the way, you and I, we're dead. But God, who's so rich in mercy, he stepped in and he did something. And it's what we celebrate on Easter. And he stepped in so that we don't have to be dead anymore to our sins. We actually get to be brought into new life. And we get to see what God has in store for us in this new life. So, this is what I want to remind us of this morning. Throughout these two passages. Because he lives. Because we come together and we celebrate Easter. We celebrate that the tomb is empty. That the grave is empty, that Jesus is alive. Because he lives. This means certain things for us who follow Jesus. And if you don't follow Jesus, today is a great day to decide to start following Jesus. Because he lives, first of all, I can come alive. I can come alive. I can take my life, which is dead, in just doing my own thing and going my own way, and I can be brought back to life. Last week, as we finished up Jesus' statement about I am the life. Remember, he talked about this Zoe life. And in fact, starting next week, we're going to look at that even more. Because that's just filled with meaning in the New Testament. That Jesus came to offer us a brand new way of living, a brand new life. And that part of Easter is this invitation to come alive. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be dead anymore. You don't have to be doing your own thing anymore. That Jesus came to provide a brand new life for us and invites us into living that type of life. See, because of sin, we're not just bad. We're dead. And that's important to remember. It's not that we're just bad and we just need to start doing good things and we just start needing to get our good things to offset our bad things, because right now we're just doing too many bad things. So if we'd stop doing those bad things and we do more good things, we could kind of flip the balance in our life. That's not what he says. He doesn't say we're bad. He says we're dead. And we need someone to bring us back to life. Well, guess who gets to do that? The one who walked out of the grave. On this day that we celebrate, this Easter Sunday, that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, we can be taken from death to life. Number two, because he lives, I can be forgiven. There is nothing that you can do that would make God love you any less. There is nothing you can do that can't be forgiven either. That doesn't mean, and sometimes we get confused by this, that doesn't mean that consequences don't continue. Now, we would love that, right? Just ask God, and he forgives us, and then he says, oh, by the way, I know because of that sin, you should have all these, I'm just going to take those away, and we're just going to forget those ever happened. That would be nice, but we probably wouldn't learn much that way, and that's just not the way it works, okay? We are forgiven, but quite often because of our sin, we've done a lot of damage to relationships, to people, and those consequences just go on. And sometimes in those consequences, you know what happened? The enemy starts saying, you sure God really loved you? You sure God really forgave you? I don't know. If God really loved you, if God really forgave you, I don't know if you would be still going through this pain. You'd be still dealing with these consequences. I'm not sure you would still be dealing with these things. And that's the way the enemy whispers into our life and gets us to think about that perhaps God doesn't love us. But because he lives, it is the reason we can be forgiven. So before Jesus came, before he died, before he rose again, you know what you had to do? You had to do an animal sacrifice, okay? If you're part of the nation of Israel, that's the way that they found forgiveness, okay? Something had to die, okay? Because that's what sin does. Sin just kills everything. So something had to die. So whether that was at Passover time, whether that was the Day of Atonement, that something died so that the people could be forgiven. You would offer a sacrifice, okay? And guess what happened next time you sinned, okay? You had to offer another sacrifice. And every year, and there was all sorts of way to cover the sins of the people. We don't have to do that anymore. We could be forgiven. And we could be forgiven at that moment. And that continues on in our life, where it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. And too often, we get so embarrassed. Oh my goodness, I'm a Christian, I can't believe I did that. And we just kind of put our head down, and we just kind of lose a little bit of hope, and we kind of give up, and we just kind of drift away. We create a little space between us and God, and sometimes it's between us and the people who are on this journey of faith with us. We just kind of create some space because we're like, oh, I really blown it. You don't ever have to do that, because we are forgiven. Because he lives. You have to walk around with a bunch of guilt. You have to walk around with a bunch of shame. You don't have to do that. You can be forgiven. See, our culture has thought, we'll just try to remove shame. We'll just say that all sin is good. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. That's what they've tried to do. They've just tried to take what's bad and make it good to try to eliminate the shame that we feel. Okay? We feel that so that we will go to Jesus and be forgiven. And then at that point, there is no more guilt. There's no more shame. If you are still experience guilt and shame for something you've done in your past, that is the enemy that isn't God. Because God's forgiven it. God says it's over. And God says because Jesus walked out of the tomb, it is finished and it is done. The enemy would like to tell us, no, it's not. No, it's not. You can't do this and you can't do that. And Jesus says we are forgiven. The death of Jesus is just another death without the resurrection. But because of the resurrection, you and I, we can experience the forgiveness of God. The last one, I can have hope. If you want to know the secret of the valley of the dry bones, it's that they just lost hope. When they got taken away, when they got put in a place they had no idea they would end up, they just lost hope. It happens to all of us at times. We just lose hope. We forget that God's in control. We forget that the tomb is empty. And we just be honest, we sink a little bit into this despair and nothing's going to change and I don't know if anything's going to ever get better. We lose this thing called hope. So can I just remind you this morning that followers of Christ should never be without hope, okay? There's an explanation for why lots of people lose hope. But I'm telling you, when we're following Jesus and we get to days like this where we get to celebrate that the tomb is empty, we should never be without hope. If Jesus can conquer death, can't he take what is a broken relationship and put it back together? Can he take a marriage that is on shaky ground and do something incredible with it? Can't he take what is broken and messed up in our life and do it again and restore it? Can't he do that? If he can walk out of the grave, which no one else could do, then is there anything he can't do? Is there anything he can't do? One of the saddest places, come on, we got to be honest about this morning. One of the saddest places we get to as followers of Jesus is when for some reason, something's happened in our life and we lose hope. And we forget that the grave is empty. We forget that God is still in charge. We forget that what he's done is so great and so incredible. It can overcome anything and everything that we go through and that we experience. So I don't know what that is for you today. I know the last year's been really hard on just about everybody. And we've got to be honest about where in our life it hit the hardest and it messed us up the most. We just have to be honest about that so that God can come in and restore and work in us and set us back on track. It affected everybody, but everybody in different ways. It didn't affect us the same way, but sometimes when we share stories, we find, well, we have things in common with people, okay? That's what's been helpful for me, to sit down with other pastors and talk about the previous year and the things we've experienced. Because a lot of times, we have very similar stories of things that we experienced and that we feel. And we're all honest, there normally was a point, at some point when we thought, I don't know if this is ever going to change, right? I think we're just going to be speaking to a camera all the time. I mean, we just, every single one of us thought that at some point. Man, this is the way it's going to be forever. This is going to be weird. We're going to have to get used to it. We all got to that point, okay? And part of that point was God saying, no, it's not. Trust me. I'm in charge. Watch what I'm going to do in the midst of it. If we're not honest about where we've been, it's so hard to figure out how to move forward. And so I want to invite you to be honest about where this past year you lost hope. And it might have just been a little bit, some of you are really awesome and you're super strong and you're great, okay? So it might not have been a whole lot, but you lost a little bit of hope about something that took place. And I would encourage you to walk into the presence of God and be honest about that so he can restore that and that you would be reminded, oh, that's right, he walked out of the grave. Nothing is ever too difficult or too hard for him. The invitation is to come alive in the name of Jesus. I think it's fascinating that sometimes the enemy will trick us into thinking the things that give life really do the opposite. So, in my opinion, the best Indiana Jones movie is number 3, okay? The Last Crusade, if you've ever seen it, okay? That's the one where Sean Connery plays his father. Absolutely love that movie. I think it's the best one. So at the end of that movie, they're on this quest for the Holy Grail. And at the end of the movie, they come to the place where they now have to decide, okay? They walk in this room, and there's all these cups, and they have to decide which is the cup of Jesus, you know? And they're reminded that just as the right choice brings life, the wrong choice brings death. Even though you wanted it to bring life, it actually brings death. And of course, the bad guy picks the wrong cup, and you can celebrate, and Indiana Jones gets it right and saves the day, and that's why the movie's great. So that's why we love it, okay? But it's fascinating. I like that picture. The thing we thought that would give us life actually did the opposite. It took it from us. It sent us down a wrong path and a wrong road, going in the wrong direction. And we wake up some days and we're like, how did I get here? I thought that was such a great idea. I thought that was such a great choice. I thought it was going to give me so much life. But it didn't. It actually gave me the exact opposite of that. I think that happens all the time. We try to do well, we mean to make the right choices, but there's just times we make choices thinking it's going to improve, it's going to be better for us, and it just isn't. The thing we thought would bring us life actually brings death. That's just the way sin is. Sin comes in and ruins everything. You can try to contain it, you can try to hold it back, it just ruins everything. And the sooner we are more honest about that and recognizing that if there's a mess and this is what sin's doing, we need to repent and go the other direction and stop walking the direction. Yeah, we thought it was a good choice and we thought it would give us life. It didn't. Stop. Turn around. Walk in a new direction. The next few weeks together, we're going to talk about how to do that. How to start walking in that new direction. How to actually come alive in the name of Jesus. And see what God might do if we just stop in a place that we thought would be good and we thought would give us life, but gives us death. And we turn around and start walking in a new direction. So I want to pray for us this morning that we would be willing to celebrate all that God has done in our life. That you would see that you are loved, that you can be forgiven, that the places this last year where you lost hope are places that Jesus wants to step into and give us life back that we have missed and that has been taken from us. So let me pray for us this morning, and then we're going to finish with one last song. Father, what an incredible Sunday. Today we celebrate the tomb is empty. Jesus, you are alive. Death, hell, sin, and the grave have all been conquered. They are no longer things we need to fear as Christ followers. And we can have life. And I would pray, Father, you would help us to understand and really just ask them some challenging questions this morning about where we've lost hope, about where we are struggling, about where we are walking down a road thinking it would give us life and it's really just giving us the opposite. That we would have the courage to stop, turn around, and walk in a new direction. That's what you came to offer us, life. So I pray this morning we would come alive in the name of Jesus. We would stop the patterns of sin that are destructive and bringing death into our life. And that we would walk in you, find the newness of life that you offer us, and that you would do something incredible and amazing in and through our lives. Father, as we sing this one last song, death was arrested and my life began. May we see that come true today. May we come alive in the name of Jesus. And we pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.